Welcome. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, you know, we didn't do this on purpose, but we had a gangbuster show on our Saturday edition about Social Security. And I think we had like nine great calls. Or how about we had nine calls? I kept seven of them, and I cut them out. We're going to go through some of these on today's show, because a couple of these, I'm not sure if we've ever talked about it on the show, and I know we haven't ever taken a call before on a guy that was using a religious exemption to Social Security, and then we had to bring up the well-known Amish exemption to Social Security. So it's not just basics anymore. We're getting to that second-level intermediate stuff. But if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. Today was another one of those sort of Pepto-Bismol days in the stock market. Did you catch today's roller coaster ride? Volatility's back. You know, that was something that we were saying for a long time, and then we kind of stopped saying it because we were saying it almost every day. Like, where'd the volatility go? You're not seeing a whole lot of movement here. It's just markets going sideways most of the time. And if you don't realize how profound that sideways pattern had become, go look at the last 2 years of the previous presidency. Go look at 2015 and 2016. And I'm not saying it's because of him or it's anyone's fault or anyone's getting credit. I'm just saying, look at how sideways it moved. That's pretty unusual. In fact, this volatility stuff's starting to feel more like the old normal stock market that we all used to know and love. So a little bit of learning to be done there. But I'm still interested in what's going on with our crypto buddies. A little bit of a rebound for Bitcoin. Did you see this one? Let me try this. Oh, no, it went back down. Siri, what's the price of Bitcoin? She does this yet.
Let me think. Okay, I found this on the web for what's the...
All right, well, then don't tell me then. But it had plunged, come back up, and apparently it's back below 8,000 again. I got to check these things right before the show. Oh, man, so it was bad all day. All right, so it was up $77 today. But still, under 8,000. Anyone else nervous? Anyone else still trying to hold on? Like, oh, well, I've held on this far. It's going to do another one of those meteoric rises to the top. Is it? Because, you know, the warnings have all been out there, and we're not going to go through the whole I told you so routine, because that doesn't do anybody any good. But we will say that, admit it, you didn't know. You didn't know where it was going to go when you bought it, did you? And I know you probably don't have Bitcoin, but we're talking to those who did, because they've been rubbing it in our face for the last couple of years. Oh, well, you know, I picked it up at $200 and now it's $2,000. Check this one out. Goldman Sachs put out a report yesterday. It said, get ready for most of these cryptocurrencies to hit just about zero, is the headline. The tumble in cryptos has erased about $500 billion worth of market value over the past month. But did it really? Was there really market value there? Or was it all virtual? This is a virtual currency. There was nothing behind it. It was just virtual market value. Look, if I gave you this pen, there's a Gregory Ricks and Associates pen right here. If I gave you this pen and you sold it to me for a dollar, and then you priced it on the internet at $1,000, and then you lost the pin. Did you lose $1,000? I'm not sure if I like that metaphor, but we're going to have to stick with it. So is it too late to get in? Is it too late to get out? We never told you to get in the first place. But this is now coming to fruition. Now that the real world, and by the real world, I mean the ability to short it and the ability to do all kinds of other instruments to Bitcoin, where it's treated more like these other commodities. Now that the real world has set in, looks like the party's over. I'm not going to sit here and back what Goldman is saying and say it's going to be at zero. I don't know. If it would be, I wouldn't be surprised. If I turn around one day and it's completely gone, I wouldn't be surprised. Heck, Blockbuster's gone. Could you imagine 20 years ago that there would still be a Blockbuster? By the way, I heard a report. There are, I believe there's five Blockbusters left on the planet. Four of them are in Alaska. The other one is in Bend, Oregon. Alaska makes sense. They're probably just now getting DVDs up in Alaska. Bend, Oregon, what's going on over there? You guys being kitschy and cool? Is this like a hipster thing? Or I'm watching it on the old VHS. I spin my, I listen to Grand Funk Railroad on 8-track and go to Blockbuster still. But cryptos, there's got to be something that survives in my mind. I just don't know what it is yet. Just like in social media. Do you remember Friendster? You ever even remember that name, Friendster? It was the predecessor to MySpace. There was a social network that kind of caught on and did something and spiked for about a year or two. And it gave the guys who made MySpace the idea. It's like, hang on a second. I see what these people are trying to do, but if we put a couple of tweaks in here, and now that bandwidth and transmission is sped up a little bit, we can put a lot more photos and stuff. Let's just make this all about the photos. And so then, boom, there was MySpace, and MySpace was dominant. And could you imagine in 2004 if someone told you MySpace was going away? Remember, we were putting MySpace, you may not remember this until I say it, we were putting MySpace on TV commercials. Yeah, if you want to hear clips from so-and-so's new album, go to myspace.com/ludicrous. Or if you want to see some new deals we have on couches at the furniture store, go to myspace.com/joessofashack. That was a thing. It was there. It happened, and it's already gone away. And you don't know which one of these cryptos is going to stick around. You don't. I mean, it's kind of hard to get rid of a technology, but we could get past blockchain, just like we got past vinyl records and past 8-tracks and past cassettes and past CDs. Like I understand there may be some residual use going on in the future, but it may not be dominant very long. And this is just sort of our general sentiment about a lot of alternative investments. There's a reason they're alternative investments. There's a reason they're not mainstream. Means the mainstream of the financial world has evaluated these, probably even tried them, if not watched them, and decided, no, thank you. So another concern is what we're seeing with the deflation of the big daddy, the first one, the T-Rex of the crypto world, Bitcoin, is that most of the other ones are following suit. And we didn't know how this was going to react when they were all on the way up, when the trend was catching on. And the market cap and the investments kept getting bigger, and it was in the millions and then tens of millions, hundreds, and then it got into the billions. Well, then you saw a bunch of other cryptos popping up, and Ethereum and Litecoin and Ripple. And, you know, there's a bunch of these, and we were thinking, okay, so what's the difference between this pretend money and this other pretend money? And we were being told, like, well, look, there's a significant difference between how the blockchain works and this one and how this one's treated by the exchanges. And we were told that each of them had their own little specific tweaks and features and bells and whistles that made them completely different and not just different from each other, but necessary. You know, we don't need 18 versions of the same thing, do we? But no, these are all supposed to be different. Turns out the market doesn't see it that way. While you may be steadfast in the technological line of demarcation between the different cryptocurrencies, they're all going down together, and then they all go back up together, and then they all go back down together, and the price and the demand based on these currencies is not based on any fundamentals. It's not based on their use as a store of value to be traded for goods. It's a bubble. It's all bubble. It's the Beanie Baby. It's I'm getting this now with the hope, cross your fingers, that I can sell it at a later date for a higher price. It's not because, well, you know, I really did my homework on the blockchain and I really like the way they did the data structure on this dynamic array with the pointers and stuff instead of the static array. You don't know what you're talking about anyway. And look, it's you're talking to a guy who went to college and learned to program in computer languages. All but one of them is completely obsolete these days. And so I go back 20 years after college and I'm trying to read up on this Bitcoin, and it takes me a while. I'm trying to read up on how this blockchain stuff works, and it takes me a while. And I'm not even sure if I fully understand the difference and the little tiny nuances people are trying to convince me of between, oh, well, Ethereum and Ripple are totally different. Don't tell me you understand it. You got caught up in a trend and it was fun for a while and it was cool and you heard about some people that made money, but the headlines are never going to be as big for the people who got destroyed by this. We have tax season fully underway. The Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, but they're going to take it on tax day. Then I learned a new term. I had heard about this tax, but I don't think I've ever heard it called the jock tax before. We are quite familiar because we've talked about this with Total Wealth Authority member Jude Heath, and you know Gregory and I have brought this up going back to the early beginnings of the show because we were both huge football fans. But there are some states where they don't have a state income tax, like Texas, like Florida. But if you are a ball player, if you're shooting it up for the Pelicans, then you got to go play against the Mavericks, or you got to go throw down against the Heat in Miami. Then there's a special tax that they've carved out for you, and it's called the jock tax. And in fact, there's only one state in the country, if I remember correctly from reading this whole article about 12 hours ago, there's only one state in the country that doesn't have a state income tax, nor does it have a jock tax. And it's Tennessee. I thought that would be funny if it was a state that didn't have a professional sports franchise. Like there's one state that doesn't have the jock tax or personal income tax, and it's Alaska or Wyoming. That would have been hilarious. No, look, Tennessee, there's a little bit of hope there. They've got a football team. They've got a basketball team. They don't have a baseball team, do they? But like, just for an example, based on the little tax, on top of all the other things that Tom Brady has to pay, whatever he has to pay to the city of Boston and whatever county he's in, state of Massachusetts and the feds. And then when he goes over and he has to pay the state income tax for Minnesota, there's another tax on top of that. You add it all up together. I'm sorry, just the Minnesota portion of his taxes, though, is estimated to be at $43,000. That's for one game. And he didn't even win. So, yeah, the jock tax, that goes on top of Minnesota's 9.85% marginal tax rate. Goodness gracious. So, yeah, hey, maybe we should build a new stadium in Tennessee sometime, have a Super Bowl up there. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Well, tell me what you want to hear. Welcome back. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. Yeah, a lot of crazy stuff going on these days. XIV trader. This is a guy who was, he had an exchange traded note based on the VIX, the volatility index. He lost $4 million in 3 years of work overnight. Goldman Sachs decided that they're going to shut down their VIX exchange. And boom, everything's gone. Sounds like he lost all his money, all his clients' money. His family's money is what I should say, because that sounds a little more dire than just some goober doing it by himself. And hey, honey, you know how I've made some dumb decisions in the past? Don't look so dumb now, do I, huh? Not so bad. Oh, yeah. I like that one, Miss Parker. Aren't you glad Gregory talked me out of that goofy Bitcoin stuff I was so hot and heavy about almost 5 years ago? 5 years ago is when it first made the appearance on this show. Now we're talking about this stuff. Incredible. All right. If you want to play along with the numbers segment, go to winningatlife.com, or you can get the Winning at Life app and pull up the numbers page. Coming up shortly, I'm going to replay you a few of these. And most of these calls are pretty short. I mean, these answers don't take very long. Hey, do I qualify for Social Security Widows benefit? That's four questions away from an answer right there. So we have a lot of Social Security stuff coming up. But first, let's look at these numbers, man, because Wall Street's been rocking and rolling and up and down. The numbers. And I liked, I think the verbiage from yesterday still works. It was a whiplash day in the markets. The Dow Jones gave us all a little fright to end the day. But most of the day, it was just hanging out. Like Bob Ross, Happy Little Clouds. This was just hanging out happy in the green. Just a happy little market. Sitting up there. Sure, it starts a little low, but it comes back. Somehow, it did not end up above water. Spent most of the day above there, but ended up having a little bit of trouble at the end. So it finished down about 20 points. So when you talk about percentage terms, that means nothing. We're talking 0.08%, not even a tenth of a percent in the negative, but I still don't like seeing that red on my short sheet over here. 24,893.35. Still, that valuation seems incredible. 24,000. So I guess we're back all the way to where we were at the beginning of January. Ooh, that's real scary. You know, I thought this was supposed to be a big catastrophic collapse. S&P was down 0.5%, 2,681. NASDAQ was down almost a whole percent, but it's still above 7,000, 7,051. Not quite time to hoard gold and let non-hybrid seeds or whatever. Don't let the people go a little too crazy on you. Luckily, the volatility index, the new one that's been reconstituted, it's cute. They put a new little label here on it, on the short sheet. It was down 7.5% today, so it's under 30. So it means it's a little more breathing room between it and insanity. As far as your 10-year treasury goes, 2.84%. It was nothing but straight up today. I love the look of that. How much easier is the old investing world going to be? That's good news for savers. Not great news for debtors, but better news for savers. And listen, if you're looking for the old refi on your mortgage, that train's leaving the station. In fact, it's already started where the smoke's starting to come out and you see a little steam gust. And if you don't jump on it soon, you're going to have to do that thing where you run next to it and grab the next ladder that comes by, because that train is going and it's going fast. Gold has been dying as of late. It has been on a decline since about, the last week of January is where it peaked out. And it's down to 1,315 and a quarter per precious ounce. Oil took a big dive today, $61.52 in the after hours trade. But, Gregory and I were talking about that yesterday. Well, what could it be? I've got an idea. It could be that Russia said that they're going to be opening up their, exploring their northern coast, their Arctic coast, with more oil projects. Uh-oh. And then you also know that since they're partnered in with these OPEC guys, you know, the OPEC guys are looking at each other going, well, look, if they're not going to keep their quota, what are we keeping our quota for? We're just going to lose market share. So everybody's about to start pumping away. And if they don't, we have a bunch of hard hats over in the shale in Texas that are going to do it for them. So don't expect oil to be taken off to that $140 a barrel weirdness it did back in 2006, 2007 anytime soon. There's plenty of downward pressure to be found across the oil markets. As far as the short sheet goes today, it's a pretty nice little mix here, but I'd venture to say there's more green than red. Our fangs finally took a breather. Can't get too upset the way they've been running lately, but they were all of them. Yeah, almost all of them were down. Facebook down almost 3%, Apple down 2%, Amazon almost 2% in the red. Netflix down about 0.5%. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, 3% in the red, 2% down for Microsoft, 2% down for Yahoo. But I don't know if Tesla just is riding on surfing their little wave of publicity from yesterday's rocket launch, but they were up 3.3% today. So I guess that's what happens. You get a little attention. You stick a convertible on the tip of a rocket and you shoot it towards Mars and you get a bunch of attention. Well, we should do that for the radio show. We could put a microphone on top of a rocket. We'll shoot it toward Mars. I think we'd get a little play in the media for that one. Hey, the Winning at Life rocket is now leaving orbit. Lululemon's up 3%. That's the other big winner on our short sheet, except for only beat by Roku. Roku's another neck-breaking stock. Who knows what they're going to do tomorrow? I'm not even going to try and guess. All right, is that about shut out the short sheet? Yeah, it does. We did the Philly. We did the digital coins. There we go. Hey, the only question on the digital currencies that I would be willing to take on a day like today is, when do you think they're going to crash? When do you think that this is going to be done? Like, how long did it take to get done with Beanie Babies? Stuart Varney and Andrew Napolitano were discussing a very interesting topic on Fox Business today. There is a lottery winner in New Hampshire, and this is one of the big ones. It's around, the valuation of this prize is around $500 million, just north of $500 million. And she wants to be anonymous. Oh, snap. Yeah, snap. 47% in the positive. Got a little feedback from the social media here. That's your big winner. Goodness gracious. Weight Watchers put on a little weight, too. Who was 6%? Yeah, 47%. Whew, that's a monster. All right, where was I? Oh, yeah. This lottery winner. Check this out. If you win the lottery, there's a few things that we recommend you do. You make the attempt to be anonymous. You don't go put your face on TV. If they have to print your name in the paper, that's fine. But this lady apparently got some sound financial help, or she's just smart to begin with, and she wanted to be anonymous. Here's a problem, though. When she first found out she won, she called the state, the lottery agency, and they said, listen, here's the first thing you need to do is you need to sign the back of your ticket. That way, if someone else comes up with it, they can't claim it in your stead. If you lose that ticket and someone else finds it, then they're going to get the money and you have no recourse unless you sign it now. So she signed it. And then she went to her legal team. She has a legal team now. And she said, all right, I want this money, but I want to remain anonymous. And they said, oh, that's great. You're in New Hampshire. In New Hampshire, we have a state law that says you can set up a trust and you can accept your lottery winnings through the trust. And the only thing that gets made public is the name of the trust. So this is not every state does this. In fact, there's only a handful. And then there's only another handful of states that let you do it anonymous, period. But here's the problem. They go and they set up the trust, but you know it has to be on the back of that lottery ticket, the name of the trust. It can't go to the trust because she already put her name on it. And just like if she had lost a ticket and someone else picked up and put their name on it, then it would be theirs. Well, it can't be the trust because it's supposed to go to this lady. And I don't know her name because right now she's still anonymous. But now she's in a horrible conundrum. Angie Phone. She's in a lawsuit now. She's thinking about, I don't know if it's been filed, but she's throwing out the idea of a lawsuit. And is it going to get filed? I don't know, because then what? Her name will be made public. But listen to this discussion here. This is, well, we don't have time to play the whole thing. We'll play a little bit of it.
A multi-million-dollar lotto winner sues for the right to remain anonymous. Judge Napolitano going down market with this story, but nonetheless, he's with us.
That's so, because we're in the midst of a blizzard here in New York City. We have to talk about something happening.
You're right. This person bought this ticket, and the rules of the game in New Hampshire are that you're publicized. If you win, your name's out there.
All right, so this is not just any ticket. This is a half a billion dollars.
Yeah.
This is big money even by Varney standards. New Hampshire law says, if you sign the ticket with your name, if you bought it in your name and sign it in your name, it's public knowledge. Hmm. Now, New Hampshire has a provision. I don't know anybody that would do this, because when you buy the ticket, you don't think you're going to win. You can buy it in a trust. You register with the state who the owner of the trust is, but the lottery people don't know and the public doesn't know. I don't know if anybody that ever took advantage of that.
Never. Now, wait a second. The lady, I think it's a lady.
It is a lady. Right. Yeah.
I think
she says she is a prominent figure in New Hampshire society. She doesn't say politics, law, money. She doesn't say. And she wants to keep her life as it is. And she points out people that have been murdered for the cash.
All right, we're about running out of time there. But that's such a great discussion to have. And look, I got another feedback. Some guy over in social media is like, why does it have to be made public? Two reasons. I would guess because it's tied into government, and once there's taxpayer dollars, there's some sort of public accountability. But also, how do you know they're not gaming the system? How do you know these lottery guys just aren't keeping the money? They got to give it to somebody. That's my guess. I know, it's very elementary. Sorry to let you down. Social Security next. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ray. Welcome. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? Happy Wednesday. Saturday was a heck of a show. Started out with a Social Security quiz. I found Mass Mutual funded a study where they asked 2,000 people a Social Security quiz, and it turns out 78% of Americans failed. I got 100 on it. Thank you very much. I guarantee you that's only because I'm doing the show. It's only because I've been doing the show for almost 8 years now. But what happened is, we were doing the quiz, and that brought up some questions, and so people would call on it, and then that would bring up some other questions, and people would call on that. And we went back through the show, and there's a nice little body of knowledge that was covered with our Social Security topic here. And also, if you haven't noticed, on the Saturday show, we've added on a few more affiliates here. And so we're starting to get calls from a little more regional nature rather than just, you know, from Baton Rouge to Mobile. You know, that we basically own that I-10, I-12 corridor for about 200 miles, but it's starting to get a little further north. Wayne in Pickwick, Tennessee, had a question about how he's getting money from disability, he's getting money from a pension. How is that going to affect his Social Security?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Wayne, Pickwick, Tennessee. I don't think we've ever had a call from Pickwick before. Welcome to the show, Wayne. How can we help you?
Well, it is, I was a employed as a police officer for 28 years, and 4 months from retirement, I got injured, and I had to go out on medical retirement. Well, I draw a medical disability from them. Then I also draw a pension, but now I've heard two stories. One story saying that the pension can be deducted from the Social Security disability, and they'll only let me draw so much. Then the other person that is in the same boat as I am, he spoke with Social Security and said, no, you can't touch my pension, and they have it. So I'm trying to figure out which way it's going to wind up for me.
You're drawing Social Security now?
Disability, yes.
Disability. What is your age?
I am 54.
54. And you're also drawing a pension at 54?
Yes. I had my pension, started paying because of my disability when I got injured. Plus, next year I'm eligible for my other pension to start paying.
Okay, and somebody was telling you it's going to affect Social Security or vice versa?
Yeah, they said that the Social, whatever my pension pays, the Social Security will deduct that out of their pay.
Are you,
That's because you're on disability.
Uh-huh.
Is why that is.
Okay.
And that's just because you're receiving disability benefits, there is a pension offset on that, and you need to speak to them for clarity there. But I totally get this. This is when you're in the disability income world and then start receiving other sources of income prior to full retirement age, or even if you're having a private disability and you're receiving income, they're going to want to know, and they're going to offset that as well. Hopefully that helps you, Wayne. If not, GregoryRicks.com.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, we're back live now. That was a new long-distance record. Well, new long-distance for someone actually listening on the air feed. We've had someone call from Australia and the UK before. It's not quite a total record here, but they were only listening online, not over the air. Patrick and Slidell asked about collecting Social Security outside the United States. Is that even possible?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Patrick, Slidell, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. If you want to be after Patrick, 504-260-0995. What's up, Patrick?
Good morning, y'all. Just a quick question. If you start collecting Social Security, whether it be disability or retirement, do you have to live in the United States? Can you move to Mexico or Honduras or something?
The answer is yes and no. It depends on where you move and how long you stay there. All right. Yeah. So I had the chance to look this up on the break so we didn't have to recall all this from memory. There are two countries that are an absolute no-no. Patrick, is this what you're thinking about doing? You're thinking about retiring and then going off to somewhere else where there's either family or it's cheaper or something like that?
Can I throw in a guess? Is one of them North Korea?
Yeah, okay, steal my thunder. One of them's North Korea. Try and guess the other one then, because you're right up the you're in the right wheelhouse here.
I'd like to say Iran, but I'm probably wrong there.
Ah, so close. Cuba.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Well, and here's the good news, though, Patrick. If you want to take off and go to North Korea and just stay there for a few years and then come back to the United States, what we will do for you is we will hold these benefits and you will get them all when you return. They're just not going to send any money to anyone in North Korea for any reason or Cuba. Now, there's also a handful of countries that are on the cusp that if you're going to be in some of these other sort of shady countries, you have to be a citizen or you have to be either a dependent or a surviving spouse of someone who is a citizen. And you have to check in with the consulate or the embassy every 6 months or so. And these are a bunch of shady countries like Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan. A bunch of stands in there. You get that? Ukraine, Belarus.
Yeah
so that's one list. There's also a white list of countries that are basically NATO countries that we have proper full status with. It's them and Japan. That if you go there, even if you are a citizen of there and you got your Social Security benefits there, but you're a citizen of Austria and you go back to Austria, they'll let you keep getting your benefits. If you're a citizen and you move to Austria, unless you renounce your citizenship to the United States, you're still pretty good there. And then there's a whole handful of countries that are in some sort of in-between mode. And it's weird how it kind of goes country by country, but they've managed to really loop them into three or four different pools.
Okay. So South America, you'd have to stay for a while and come back for a couple of days?
No. Usually, look, if it's a country that's kind of cool and they keep proper records and they're not antagonistic to the United States in the international sphere, you probably, if you're going to go to a second or third world country, just have to check into the embassy or consulate every 6 months. You have to fill out some additional paperwork, and you're subjected to other restrictions that we don't have here in the States, but you'd still get something.
Make sure you talk to Social Security before you leave the country to get clarity on all the updated information if you're going to leave the country for an extended period of time and you're receiving benefits.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
See, now that's very helpful because we've talked about that on the show before, but I don't think we've ever had a call on it. And I just imagine there's some pensioner out there who is thinking, you know what really looks like nice right now? Cuba. Cuba looks nice. Huh? Maybe not so fast there. John from River Ridge calls in. His wife just adopted her grandson. How does that affect their Social Security? Can they get Social Security for him?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
John is calling down from our New Orleans affiliate. How can we help you, John? You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
My wife has sole custody of her grandchild, and I wanted to find out. My wife is on Social Security benefits at present, and I wanted to know if the grandchild would be due any type of benefit additionally.
What is the age of the child?
She's 8.
She would be eligible for benefits. You should talk to Social Security about this.
Okay.
Is she designated as custodian of that child? Does she have paperwork?
Yep.
Or is it, I'm just taking care of the...
No, she has paperwork.
Okay. That takes care of that. That's easy.
You know the legal guardian policies right off your head?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
And 8's an easy number because she's way under that age of
Could I ask an additional question?
Sure.
Do they still have the benefit where if my wife is older than I am, if I were to, can I piggyback her Social Security until I'm ready to pull my Social Security?
No. Well, hold on. What is your age?
I am 62.
62. You didn't turn 62 in time. And what is her age?
69.
69. Well, she was old enough for that to work, but you didn't make 62 by April
29th.
April 29th of 2016. 16. Yeah, you had to be 62 by then for that to work.
All right.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Congress helped you, took that from you.
That's all right. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Look, take good care of that kiddo, and we as the taxpayers be pretty happy to help you out with that one, John.
Yep.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
See, what you're noticing here in some of this financial advice is the work of a fiduciary. This isn't a broker, a guy trying to put you in a mutual fund or sell you stocks or throw you into a fixed product. He can do everything. Yeah, he can do all that stuff, but he can also tell you how to plan for Social Security and widow Social Security and disability and moving outside the U.S., all kinds of good stuff. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What is going on? This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. Now, Gregory is out on assignment tonight, but he had time to call in just now and say, hey, you see what's going on with the news? Well, no, I'm kind of doing a show. Okay, so it's one of these days where the Pelicans are scheduled to have a game, so we're on the streams, and we're on Facebook Live and Periscope, and so it just knocks us off the air feed on a couple of our affiliates here. But the flip side of that is there's not a Pelicans game going on right now either. We got interrupted, sure. There was a game scheduled, but before they tipped off, the storm poked a hole in the roof somehow, and now water's gushing down on the court, and they haven't been playing this whole time. Usually they've been playing a game. So I guess for an hour, they've just been vamping on the Pelicans broadcast about, I don't know what, construction work, the do-it-yourself channel. Maybe they're watching HGTV, trying to get some tips how to reshingle a dome, an arena. Returning to Saturday's Social Security Spectacular. Did you know that Amish are exempt from Social Security? I'm just going to leave that right there.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
George, you had one other thing you were going to share with us. George had called in. He's a minister, has 29 years of Social Security
work history,
but he has opted out of Social Security, so that means you had to fill out Form 4361 as a minister to opt out, correct?
Correct, yes.
So what was the other thing you were about to mention that you were told?
Well, I was told that because I worked for the state and had a pension with them, that I would not get all of my Social Security. I would get a smaller portion. But now I'm finding out that, or at least hearing that, you have to have at least 30 years, which I only have 29 in the private sector. So that creates more confusion.
Yeah, so that's regarding the windfall elimination provision, because there's four ways to beat that exemption. And let me get that list up here. So here are some of the exemptions. You're a federal worker first hired after December 31st of 1983. Second, you were employed on December 31st, 1983, by a nonprofit organization that didn't withhold Social Security. The third, your only pension is for railroad employment. Fourth, the only work you performed for which you didn't pay Social Security taxes was before 1957, or the one that affects you, you have 30 or more years of substantial earnings under Social Security, and you opted out a year short. That's kind of what went to our discussion. I was like, why would you opt out with a year left? And James said, well, he didn't know. So you didn't know this when you opted out, did you, George?
Nope.
Okay. So you need.
I knew I had my 40 quarters, but I didn't know anything about 30 years.
Yeah. So you do have the 40 quarters, but you know you're going to take a hit. So your workaround, and give you an example, back in 1987, substantial earnings for that year was $8,175. In 1998, substantial earnings was considered more than $12,675. Last year, substantial earnings is $23,625. So you're going to need to put in a year that's going to need to be close to $24,000 in earnings, and then you've got your complete workaround.
All right, George, how familiar are you with the form you filled out? What was that, 4361 or something like that? Because what came to my mind, and Gregory and I talked about this on the break, is I know that the Amish are exempt from Social Security. If you're Amish, you still have to get, you're supposed to get a Social Security number, but they fill out form 4029, and what happens there is they don't have to pay into the old age survivor disability insurance, none of that.
Right.
But in exchange for no taxes, they also get no benefits whatsoever heretofore. And it's kind of ugly, because at some point, if they had paid into it and then they go fill out the form 4029, they basically are giving up any rights they have,
right,
benefits. So I hope your form didn't do that too, just for the couple of years here that you've been exempt. But
at least not according to my CPA. According to my CPA, the form that I filled out was only for the time that I am a minister. So it had nothing to do with prior to or after. If I was to leave the ministry and go back into the private sector, it would have no effect.
Well, on one hand, kudos to your CPA for thinking outside of the box and going through, you know, the legal fine print to try and save you some money on your taxes for this year. But in the long run, that may not be what's better for you as from the view of a financial planner. But George, I'm thinking about becoming Amish here. I would start my own. I would start my own religion or my own cult. But it says you has to be from a church that's been in existence since December 31st, 1950, so I'm going to have to glom on to some other existing religious sect to get out of this.
Thank you for the call, George. Hopefully that was helpful to you. Great question. I know our listeners enjoyed that and learned from it. Here's my take from this discussion, and I've kind of already mentioned that to you, is we all hate paying taxes.
Absolutely.
Social Security. Well, most do, let's say that. You know, and it's like, gosh, we see that going out. And a lot of people think, well, I'm paying in Social Security and I'm never going to get it. I kind of say you're highly likely to get your Social Security benefits. But as much as all of us kind of say we hate paying it, I'd rather have the money to do something else, what we get a lot of calls from, and George is an example of that, by having opted out, now it's a problem because what? It's affecting my benefits. Or those that work for the state of Louisiana in that pension program, because they don't pay into Social Security, and maybe they had 10 years of work, but they went to work for the state, say school teacher, etc., and they've been there for 20-25 years, and they find out, well, my husband dies or my spouse dies, I'm not going to get their benefit. They've got pretty good earnings, and I'm not getting benefits, but they paid in, and I don't keep that. So it's when you don't get it, we hate paying in, but when you're told you're getting cut or you're not in the system, they're like, what? They're unhappy about it. So it's kind of that two-edged sword. We don't want to pay it, but we do want our benefits.
Yeah, pretty upset when that check doesn't show up, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, look, Gregory, there's also an advantage here. Next time we have to hire on, maybe if we need another producer, Gregory Ricks and Associates needs a new staff member, you can hire an Amish person, and if you also, as the employer, fill out Form 4029, then you're exempt from having to withhold the taxes. So that'll save you money, too.
So
the Social Security part only.
On when we go on Indeed to post the job, we kind of put in fine print, Amish move to the front of the line.
No, I don't know if you can do that because the EEO, I think you could say Amish strongly encouraged to apply. But you can't openly have positive religious discrimination. But that would save you.
I'm glad we clarified
that. That would save you the 6-point-whatever% that you have to pay to Social Security on your employees.
Does that mean they probably wouldn't want 401k participation also?
I don't know. Does that go against them?
Well, it's not insurance. That's kind of what they're referring to. The government program is insurance. I was reading something about it. Something take because it's like insurance. You don't want insurance.
Yeah, that's their religious exception. They don't believe in commercial insurance, so they don't practice commercial insurance.
Gosh, this show is something. We all learn so much every day.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, we're back live now. Hey, I was checking up. I did the homework since the last Olympics, and it turns out that they did not fix whatever. I don't know why they call them loopholes. They just didn't fix the rules here, and the winning athletes at the Winter Olympics are going to have to pay taxes on their Olympic winnings. Winning a gold medal nets an athlete $37,500. Silver medal, $22,500. A bronze comes with $15,000. Did I say that right? Yeah. Here's where it kind of gets interesting. Paralympics. They still win $7,500 for a gold, $5,250 for a silver, $3,750 for a bronze. Really, the Paralympics? The Olympic Committee increased payments to athletes by 25% at the end of 2016. So the numbers just went up. But top-earning athletes falling in the highest tax bracket or would pay the newly reduced top rate of 37%. Just as if it was normal winnings, we're still punishing the Olympic winners because of taxes, huh? All right, your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I encourage you to go download that app. We've got a lot of good stuff on it. For instance, when there's another basketball night and you want to easily go listen to the show or watch it somewhere else, you can go to the app. And you can either listen to the audio stream or you can come watch us on Periscope or Facebook Live, whatever you prefer. But remember, this whole thing happens because of Gregory Ricks, and his day job is Gregory Ricks & Associates, where he is a Hall of Fame financial advisor. And if you got a big pile of money and you want it to last as long as possible and do the best with it, he'd be a good place to start. GregoryRicks.com or his office number is 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning.